hearing his love, not that we loved him, but rather he loved us. He gave himself for us. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a great God. Magnifico. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to get into the Word tonight. 1 Kings chapter 8. Give me a little monitor. Just a little monitor. That would be great. Right here, that's good. 1 Kings chapter 8. Had to get the bifocals out. First Kings chapter 8, verse 63. I had a total different plan for this evening, but seems like God got the rubber mallet out and crowned me. Doing. So that just goes to show how much we really know. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he had offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen, and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Oh God, for truly the scripture says, who is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou settest him over the work of thy hands, that thou anointest his head. Oh God, this evening, gracious Father, Lord Jesus, reach down, Lord, speak to this people. Speak to us, Lord God, feed us, Lord, you're the great shepherd, and the great shepherd knows what the sheep need. I ask it this evening in Jesus' name. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Don't break any wrists now. Hallelujah. Solomon, what a great, powerful moment. Everybody say powerful. What a powerful moment. What a moving moment. What an exuberant time when Solomon and Israel offered up 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. That's some serious stuff. Amen. And so I want to preach just a little while tonight. Maybe short, maybe long. But on the subject, it's easy to live for God when it's easy. It's easy to live for God when it's easy. Now, we can take this time in history and find that David, the king of Israel, is the one that had a pretty rough go of it. But we look at Solomon, his son, and how that Solomon had it pretty easy. Everybody say easy. Now, let's just get on with it tonight. Easy. Amen. Solomon had it pretty easy. Amen. David had laid up and had communed with different kings around them. And we know that it was David's desire to build the Lord a house. It was in David's heart to build God a house. And we find that God told David that he would not be the one to build him a house, that he would raise up of his loins, that he would raise up a son that would build him a house. And so we know that David thought carnally, he thought for sure that Solomon was the one, the son, and amen, how that he began to lay up and store all these building supplies and money and servants and getting everything together. And I mean, they had money in the bank. They had the supplies out back. They had the laborers. They had everything together. Amen. And they come along and we find, if you will research history, you will find that Solomon built himself a house. Amen. Besides building the Lord a house. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so, amen, Solomon built himself a house out of all of these goodies and supplies that were laid up. And he also built the Lord a place. And, amen, the scriptures record that it took Solomon, amen, 13 years to build his house. Amen, but it only took him 7 years to build the Lord's house. So we can learn through the scripture and find that there was something a little fishy about Solomon and him building the Lord a house. It was called Solomon's temple. Amen. And rightly so it was. Amen. Solomon, when building up his little kingdom, amen, and truly, amen, it was David's desire to build the Lord a house more so than it was Solomon's. And so we find that, amen, it's easy to live for God when it's easy. Now just follow along with me. Amen. This will be good. Amen. This is one of them, amen, coconut meringue pies tonight, if you will. Amen. Or if you like lemon, it's a good lemon pie. So, amen, let's break it down to where we're at, because this is what God thumped me on the head, amen, before the service and said, this is what I want you to preach. Amen. I had all these fancy Bible study papers up here, and we was going to do good old Bible study. But God, amen, somebody in this house is going through a situation. Amen. Somebody in this house is going through. Amen. A time in your life, amen, that I want to minister to you tonight, because the great shepherd, amen, sees where you're at. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows, come on, I said he knows what's going on. Amen. And he's a great big God. Amen. We sung the song because of his love. Amen. His love lifted me. Amen. His love saved me. Amen. Out of the world of sin. His love, amen, look beyond my faults. Amen. His love looked beyond all of that. His love saw my needs. Amen. Because he loved me. Amen. And tonight, amen, just take that old finger and point it at your face and say, he loves me. There are those folks in church that walk around, have it going on. Like Devin up there. He's got it all going on. Got it all together. Having everything they need, everything they desire. Amen. They can come to church and enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, skipping, smiling, happy, singing the song, God is great and greatly to be praised, because everything in our life is okay. Amen. Financially, I'm free. Emotionally, ecstasy. Physically, fine. Relationally, relax. Everything is okay. And for those that are like that, God bless you and heaven keep on smiling. I know I ain't preaching to you, because you got it all together. However, there are those of us who going through some things. going through some mess. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Everything in our life isn't fancy and free. Everything isn't financially together. Amen. We're financially frustrated, emotionally emasculated, physically debilitated. Amen. My knee, left knee hurts and my right ankle hurts. I got to work tomorrow. Amen. A hard job. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. You don't hear me tonight. Amen. Come on. Amen. Mentally, some folks mentally messed up. Instead of saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, we say, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Amen. We got to be truthful. Amen. Come on. I said, we got to be truthful. Amen. We can be real with God. Amen. We can be real with God. Amen. We don't have to wear no, amen, no mask, walk around, amen, like some, amen, some, amen, some perfect. You ain't got a hair out of place, and hallelujah. If we're truthful with ourselves, these are the times that we even get angry with God. I don't know who this message is for, but it's for somebody in this house. That's a perfect section over there. There's times that some folk may even get angry with God through the situations. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you done came out of your situation. But somebody else in the house is going through it. Come on. There are times we get upset with God, say, Lord, I am trying to do your will, and it seems to me that folks that aren't even thinking about you seems like they should be the ones running to the unemployment office. Just hold on with me. They should be the ones whose children are in trouble. They should be the ones who have the problems making ends meet. They should be the ones having to run to the emergency room. And so one scripture writer in the Bible said that my foot almost slipped. David, when I looked at the wicked, even though I know I should not fret myself because of those evildoers. But when you look at the wicked and you see you're still driving that rusted out Yugo and driving it, giving God the glory on your way to church, and your neighbor just bought a brand new Mercedes, is not even thinking about going to church, and you want to say you don't give that a thought when it came to your mind. These are scenarios, situations. Hallelujah. Come on, you read your Bible, you pray, amen, all these things, and you say, Lord, now what? Amen. And so we see that it is in these places that God is developing our character. It is in these places, not in the places where, amen, Solomon had everything packed, everything ready. Amen. He had all the supplies. Amen. He never knew, amen, what it was like to go, amen, to the restaurant. Amen. And you didn't have enough in your pocket, amen, to order you a full meal, or you had to get the value meal. Amen. That's the way we live. We got to get the dollar menu. Amen. Well, nobody hears me tonight, so I might as well just preach at the center row. Amen. You got to get the dollar menu while everyone else is getting the, amen, the steak and the mashed potatoes. And amen. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Pinching pennies. Amen. You don't know where the next gallon of milk's going to come from. Hello? Now, let's just get real. Amen. It's at these times and these places, amen, where God is working on our character. He is developing our character. This is called a wilderness experience. Amen. There are times in our walk with God where we're going to go through dry places where, amen, things ain't going to just go our way. Everything just ain't going to be hunky-dory. Ain't going to be a bed of roses. Amen. It's during these times that God, amen,
will create and he will mold our character. It is where God, amen, come on, you don't hear me tonight. It's where God, amen, can make something out of us. Amen, hallelujah, amen. The song that Brother Spell sings, amen, it just touches your heart when God unfolds the roles.
Help us, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's in these moments where, amen, our lives, amen, are made, where our character is developed. I read a story one time. I didn't bring it with me, but I remember reading a story about back in the slave days where there was this one slave, and he was the most well-behaved. He was the most upright, and he walked higher than all the other. And so one of the slave masters wanted to buy that slave, and they said, he's not for sale. And they said, I've been watching him, and can't, you know, why is he always got it together? He's always smiling. He walks about with a dignity and all of these things, and always got a smile and everything. And the one who was his keeper, amen, looked at the other man and said that he came from a tribe over there, and how that he was a son of one of the tribal leaders, and he, amen, has this royal bloodline. You're like, what in the world has that got to do with what you're saying? Hello? Come on, I said the Bible said that Jesus, amen, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Huh? Come on, when Jesus, when they, amen, took him before Pilate's hall, amen, they threatened him, they beat him, they did all these things. Pilate looked at him, and he sat there with, amen, his dignity, amen, with great character, amen. And Pilate, and saying, can't you speak nothing for yourself? Amen. He said, I have power, amen, to release you. And Jesus looks at him and says, you have no power, amen, but that which has been given to you. Amen. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we are his children. Amen. Come on, we are children of the King. Amen. We have royal blood flowing through our spiritual veins. Amen. Come on, I said we're going, amen, to a better place. Amen. We're going out of here. Amen. We don't have to carry our head down all the time. We don't have to walk around defeated. Amen. We don't have to walk around with defeat. Amen. We don't have to walk around and give up. Amen. Come on. I said he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You may be going through a valley. You may be going through a trial. Amen. You may be going through a test. Amen. But it's in that wilderness, amen, where God tried the children of Israel, amen, to see whether they would live for him. Amen. To see whether they would stand the test. Amen. To see whether, amen, they were going to keep his commandments or not. Somewhere I got a spit rag. There it is. I'm going to start preaching. Come on. Let's look at a few characters. Elijah. Elijah, the prophet, who was none other than the prophet was to whom the word of the Lord came. So Elijah, amen, did he live in a time of plentiful? Could he go to the supermarket, amen, and get the Walmart cart and go down the aisle and not count, amen, what he's putting in a cart because he don't want to run over? Anybody? Nope. As a matter of fact, amen, we're blessed. We got, amen, this water here tastes horrible, but at least we got water. Amen. In Elijah's day, there was a great famine. There was no water for 3.5 years, baby.
Amen. That water would be great. It would be like liquid gold. We were without water for 3.5 years, but there was a great famine in the land. Amen. And Elijah, amen, he was, amen, come on, amen, a preacher. Amen. He was standing against, amen, the false doctrines of the world. Amen. He was standing against a false church of the world. Amen. Elijah, amen. Amen. There, and he, amen, going over to the widow woman's house. Amen. There, eating at the widow woman's house. Amen. Ends up at the brook, and the ravens feeding him. Amen. But during the time of that great famine, during the time, amen, of that being lack of, amen, he held on to his integrity. He held on to truth. Amen. He didn't give up. He didn't give in. He didn't give out. Amen. He stood for righteousness. He stood for, amen, the doctrine of truth. He knew Israel had a mission to preserve its religious system, the worship of the one true God. Amen. The one true living and holy God. God is still holy. I don't care what the mainframe, I don't care what the denominational, the major denominational Pentecostal world, the major organizations of Pentecost have went down the toilet tube, amen, have compromised and have let down, amen, but we cannot let down, we cannot compromise, amen, we've got to be separate, amen, we've got to come out from among the world, amen, we cannot stand in the middle of Yankee Stadium, amen, and shake hands with the Wiccans, amen, shake hands with the Buddhists, amen, shake hands and say we're all one, glory to God, amen. Oh, come on, I said we have got to stand for the one true and living God. We cannot compromise, amen, no matter how tough it gets, we can't compromise. Now, this is applicable not to just preachers. This is everybody that is in here. You are going to have peer pressure that is going to put the heat on you and is going to try and is trying, because I'm preaching it to you tonight. Amen. The preaching ain't in vain. Some of you folks going through some peer pressure. Amen. People's putting the heat on. Amen. But you don't worry about all of that. Amen. Stand true. Amen. Stand faithful. Amen. Faithful is he who will perform. It. Amen. God will come through. We got to have an uncompromising stand. Even in the face of famine, even in the face of tests, trials. Hello? We must be the Elijahs of our day and stand. We must preach against sin. Well, I said we got to preach against sin. We got to preach against worldly music. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I don't care who bebop pop star that it is. You don't need to be listening to, amen, the bebop hop prop, amen, throp, amen, because they're going to stop and they're going to drop. How you like that rapping? Hey. Huh? Come on. The wise man built his house upon a rock. Amen. And when the winds came and the floods beat upon the house, it stood because it was founded upon a rock. Amen. But the rotten world has built their house upon the sand. Amen. And they're all going to fall. Amen. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Amen. Not on a rock. Amen. Come on. And they are going to fall. And great shall be the fall of it. Amen. We got to come out from among the world. You can't live listen to, amen, all that hunky-punky, amen, roll that old pop music, amen, honey baby, sugar baby, love you baby, all that stuff, amen, get you all self all hormonal worked up, amen, come on, you don't hear me tonight, amen, I said we can't listen to all this emotional, amen, get to lift you up on a roller coaster ride, get you all up there and then drop you, amen, like a rock, baby, I don't love you no more, and this and that, all hooga booga, amen, shut your mouth, amen, turn the channel over to something, amen, that is Holy Ghost filled, amen, on Acts238radio.com, amen, get rid of that junk, amen, get it out of your house, amen, get it out of your heart, amen, get it out of your mind, amen, get it out of there, because it will play games with your emotions. The statistics have proven that music has power. You know how many people commit suicide over music? Back when I was out there, amen, BC, they had all that junk trash music going on. You'd drink yourself to oblivion, amen, because nobody loves you and this and that, all that junk. People blow their brains out. People blow their neighbors' brains out. Emotion. Don't need it. We got to stand. We got to preach against sin. We got to preach against this stuff. Amen. We got to preach biblical salvation. We got to preach true repentance. Amen. You ain't going to get into the kingdom of God without real repentance. Amen. Real repentance is, amen, a turning and about face. Amen. A walking away, quitting sin. Amen. True repentance is a change, a total change of one's mind and lifestyle to line up with the Word of God. Amen. This modern church, amen, they'll just take them just like they are, shake the preacher's hand, amen, put their name on the membership roll. They do not care at all one iota. Amen. They plaster their lifestyle all over Facebook. Amen. Just sinful, horrible stuff. Call themselves saved and Christians, and the preacher says, oh, that's so wonderful. Amen. Bless God. Amen. Shame on you. It ain't cute. Amen. It ain't acceptable. Amen. You ought to be preaching, amen, against sin. I know I ain't popular. You might have the wrong person up here. I want my kids to be saved. I want my family to know there's a difference. That ain't apostolic. I don't care how much you jibber jabber. Tongues can be mocked and can be manufactured, can be imitated. But living right can't be. And you really repent, you're going to start living right. So we got to preach true biblical salvation. We got to preach true repentance. We got to preach water baptism in the only saving name, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And it matters. Some churches will do it either way. They don't care. They'll have those evening night service when no one ever even knows it happens. Sure enough. We must preach sanctification, holiness, separation, consecration. It was easy for Israel to believe and trust in God for everything when they could see the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now all that they had heard and been taught had to be put to the test. Help me, Jesus. Daniel chapter 3, we know, amen, during the time, amen, when the
Israel was taken captive, the captivity, when they had finally sinned so much that God said, I've had enough. Amen. The Babylonians, Syrians, Babylonians are going to come in. They're going to take over and just conquer everything and just wipe them out. I'm just tired of it all. But during the time of the captivity, God had a people who would not bow. God had a people who was steadfast, a people who was unwavering, a people who was not going to bend, a people who is not going to bow. Come on. Amen. I said, we have got to hold on. We have got to be solid. Amen. We have got to hold on like a bulldog. Amen. Like a pit bull. We got to get a pit bull lock. Amen. Get a grip on it. Amen. Don't let go. Amen. Come on. I said, don't let go. The devil's trying to shake it. Amen. The devil's trying to shake you loose. Amen. But you don't let the devil shake you loose. You get a bulldog grip. Amen. Grab horns of the altar. Amen. Don't let go. Amen. Hold on. Amen. Because God, amen, is going to come through. Amen. Come on. I said, weeping may endure for the night. Amen. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. I said, weeping may endure for the night. Amen. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. He who laughs, amen, first shall laugh last. Amen. Come on. I said, amen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
When I was a kid growing up, somehow I started a blog and I was putting testimonies, different little experiences I had in my BC days, God bringing me to Himself, supernatural experiences. And I got all kinds of people following it. I just put it out there. And so when I grew up as a preacher's kid, but I grew up, in a rough area. It was bad. My kids ain't seen bad. It's bad. It was hell to me. It was Sodom and Gomorrah. You kids that live in these good areas, you just better just be so thankful. I'm telling you the truth. I lived in an apartment building, and my whole three blocks was nothing but Party Row. You couldn't look out the windows. I'm telling you the truth. And they'd get high on crack, get stoned out, high on crack, and they'd run their motorcycles right up the steps. Like several steps to a little porch on our apartment building. And then they would just ramp it and go right up their steps all the way up into their apartment building. Now, right above us. And ride their Harleys back down. Hello, I'm telling you the truth. That's the kind of environment I was raised up in. And you talk about trying to live for God, trying to hold on for God. I was beat up. I was made fun of. My father was made fun of. They called my dad the microwave preacher. They mocked him. They mocked him speaking in tongues. We'd be walking down the street and they'd be mocking him. You got it easy. And so, through all that persecution, amen, through all the tests, through the trials, amen, a person's character is made, is formed. And, amen, I would watch my dad, and my dad would get so frustrated and mad, but he would get so righteously mad. He'd grab his Bible, and he'd go right out to the middle of the street and start preaching. He had a neighbor guy come over with a hammer in his hand, was going to hit my dad right in the head, and my dad just kept on preaching. I was looking out the window crying. I was like, oh, my God, they're going to kill my daddy. He just kept right on preaching. So, talk about character building. Talking about, amen, God fighting your battles, God coming through. And so I would always, that's why I went so far out into the world, because I was so mad. I was like, God, amen, how can all this happen to my parents? He's a preacher, and all this we live for you, and my mother and sister sing on the radio, and they preach it on the radio, and all this happened to us, and amen, all this, and we were so poor, amen, I was always wearing clothes that was double my size, and because I had to make them last, and all kinds of crazy nonsense. You kids think you got it bad, you ought to just slap yourself. Amen. Well, oh, that was free, didn't cost you nothing. And so, amen. And so, amen. I remembered all that, and made me so upset and mad. That's why I went so far the opposite way, because I thought, you know, if there was really a God, amen, all this stuff wouldn't be going on. I just got so mad at God. Amen. I become terrible. Hello? But I watched, I remember, I watched, I seen, I observed, as I was growing up, amen, I remember, I pegged those people who, amen, gave me so much problems and gave my parents so much problems, I wanted to kill them. I had a bullseye on their head. I just thought, amen, it would be wonderful just to take them out, amen, because I had so much hate in my, and so, amen, I watched and I observed, and over time, amen, it wasn't very long, those people that had mocked, those people that had made fun, the man who pulled the hammer out of my dad, was going to hit my dad in the head, his wife ran off with the mailman, he lost his family and his wife, and amen, the other punk kid in the town that always mocked and made fun of him, he ended up with intestinal problems where he couldn't even go to the bathroom. He had to carry a colostomy bag on him. Terrible situations, amen, popped up in their life. And I watched and I observed and I was like, oh, God is able to take care of your problems. Amen. I said, God is able to fight your battles. Amen. I said, God is able, amen, to carry you through. Amen. Just hold on. And so during the captivity when, amen, the enemy came in and took all the children of Israel captive and made them slaves down in Babylon. Amen. There was some people who were decided they were going to stand and they were going to be faithful and they were going to make it. I'm telling you tonight, amen, you have got to get a bulldog grip on living for God. With all this social pressure and social media and all this nonsense, amen, you got to shake that off. Amen, you can't let all, amen, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, no, that's a lie. Words can't hurt. Amen, people, amen, let words hurt them all the time. You got to shake that devil off. Amen, come on, I said you got to shake that devil off. You got to get a bulldog grip. Amen, and say, I'm going to live for God. Amen. No matter what it takes, amen, I'm going to live for God. Amen, I'm going to make it all the way. Brother Chris, we got to get a bulldog grip. And no matter what hellhound from our past, no matter what devil comes our way, amen, we got to shake it off. Amen, and we got to keep on trucking. Amen, we got to keep on telling people, amen, about Jesus. Amen, because that's what keeps us going. Daniel, Hebrew children, old Nebuchadnezzar and all the old wicked people. Let me tell you, this world is not your friend. You better read the book of James. The book of James says, amen, that we, whosoever is a friend of the world is enmity with God. I know the scripture says for us to make friends of unrighteous mammon. So when we mess up, they can take care of us. That's the Gospels. That's not talking about compromise. We don't go to the bars where they go. So this world is not your friend. So the old king, wicked king Nebuchadnezzar of the world, symbolic of Antichrist, devil, made an image of gold. Now I got to get up early too, so just hang. I got to get up early, and then I got to drive 2 hours to work. So enough clock watching. I'll watch the clock. I just checked it. So Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height and all that stuff. You know he did. He set it up. Gathered all his princes, his governors, all the senators, governors, Democrats, Republicans. They're all in it. You know, some apostolics could accomplish something for God if they get out of the politics. Do you ever see in the scriptures anywhere, and this is being recorded, and I'm going to give it to my son. You see anywhere in the scripture where Jesus or his 12 apostles, amen, went on a campaign trail for Pilate or for Herod? No, they was on a campaign trail with the gospel for Jesus. So they all got together, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and the rulers, and gathered together and dedicated this dumb image. Stupid image. That was nice. Get a little Jesus in me here in a moment. They called them snakes and generation of vipers. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image. Whosoever falleth not down and worship the same hour shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, I don't know if there's anybody in here or not, but I'm going to just say it just for kicks. This is a real story. It's not a kid's story. This is real. Therefore, people heard all of this music and stuff going on. They fell down and worshiped the golden image. But there were certain Jews, Hebrews, who had set over the affairs of the province. They said, O king, these men have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them and said, Is it true? Now the king got mad. I feel something prophetically right here. Folks, we're going to have to decide who we're going to live for. This world is setting the stage for anyone who does not want to go along with its civil plan. Now, there was a statement made in one of those recordings on the national news that one of those candidates had made a statement and said that anyone crossing that border who does not want to agree with the United States is going to be in prison or is going to be dealt with. Now, I don't know what boat you are on, but on the real boat, you got to realize that that encompasses a whole lot. That means the definition of that means that you hardcore Christians who don't want to accept the beliefs of other religions, you're not in the boat. You people who don't want to accept alternate lifestyles, you ain't in the boat either. I hope you get a picture because, amen, we have got to clean off the dust off of our eyes and realize, amen, there is an agenda that is coming down the pike fast. Amen, and there is an agenda behind it, amen, to do away with us. Amen, there are two types of people in this world that the world hates, which is, amen, that is, amen, empowered by the devil because the book of Ephesians says, amen, whom, amen, the prince of powers of the air, amen, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen. Everybody ain't your friend. Amen. Everybody ain't looking out for your well-being. Amen. Everybody ain't looking out to preserve their neighbor. Amen. They have an agenda. Amen. And this globalization of the world. Amen. And the globalization of the world's economy and the world's resources and all this brotherhood stuff. Amen. They want you to embrace the Wiccans. They want you to embrace, amen, the Muslims. They want you to embrace, amen, all the religions of the world. And if you don't want to, you're not going to be a part of their little shindig. Amen. So you might as well just get it made up now. Amen. You're going to live for the one true hero, Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, and thou shalt not bow down to any other gods. Amen. And you have got to live according to the commandments of God, and the commandments of God said it is wrong. Amen. Alternate lifestyle is an abomination. You find out, you get working out there in the real world, you find out real fast. People walk around there, oh, so religious. Cuss like a sailor. Better wake up. So, we know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we ain't bowing. The same spirit that was prevalent at that kingdom is prevalent today. They marched the streets bare butt naked. They mock. They make fun. They defy the commandments of God. But if which is totally breaking the laws, of the laws, indecent exposure. They do not care. Oh, am I in the right place? I'm telling you the truth. They do not care. Now there's a couple on the news where, amen, they are fixing to make incest legal. Mother and a son love each other and they want to get married. It's all over the news. And the news media is just eating it up. This world's crazy. It's full of the devil. So we think it's rough. It's going to get a little rougher. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no way, Jose, we are not going to bow. Amen. We done decided. We done got a bulldog grip. We done made up our mind. We're not going to bow. Amen. We're not going to cave. We're going to live for God. Amen. Just like Moses had to come to his years. Amen. And he had to make a decision up in his mind. Young people, hello, you hear me right now, all ages. Amen. Moses, the Bible said that Moses, when he was come to years, amen, that he chose chose rather to suffer affliction with the righteous, amen, than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, amen, and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. We have got to make up our mind. We are not, amen, going to bow. We're not going to cave. We're not going to give in. Amen. Come on, Michaela, you're down there in the public schools. Amen. Young people, amen, you have got to make up your mind. You're going to live for God. Amen. You're going to stand. Amen. You need to stand and you need to be the light. Amen. You need to say, I'm not going to be like you. I'm not going to cave. I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to talk the way you talk. I'm not going to dress the way you dress. I'm not going to act the way you act. I'm not going to paint my face up like you paint your face up. I'm not going to do what you do. I am a Christian.
None of this is my notes, so get mad at God. I hope someday my kids are proud of me. Dad, you made me so mad, but Dad, you were right. Somebody's got to stand. Somebody's got to have an eyeball. Not just, oh, you look so cute, honey. You better get yourself some clothes on. Cute my foot. You better dress modest. Come on, you want no pervert eyeing you? Amen. You don't need to provoke no perverts after you. That ain't how you find a man. It's how you find a beast. So they didn't bow. You know what? God was with them. And no matter how hard it gets, no matter how tough the temptation gets, don't bow. God will be with you. You definitely want God on your side. You don't want him against you. Hell is trying to make us bow. We will not bow. Paul and Silas were thrown into the Philippian jail. Knowing what had happened to James, Stephen, and all the other disciples who were tortured, imprisoned, and killed, do you think they were having a good time? I mean, this ain't America where they were at. I mean, they were killing folk regularly. Oh, wicked kings, they sent out the soldiers to the streets and the cities, knocking on doors, killing two-year-old babies. That was the police. So they had done heard and saw many, many martyrs for Christ. And amen. And so the apostles and others who were tortured and imprisoned and killed. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Amen. When it is easy, it's easy to live for God when it's easy. Nice air-conditioned buildings, fresh paint on the walls, padded pews. Huh? Come on. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly, amen, you know what? Amen, those prisoners need to hear you singing praises to God. Hello? They don't need to hear you beatboxing. They need to hear you singing praises to God. My co-workers hear me. I'll be on the job. Amen, yesterday, I believe it was, I was singing a tune. I do.
Past 16 years, I've worked with this gentleman named Jason. He's backslidden Pentecostal. He's heard me sing songs all the time, hum them, sing them. He knows what they are. He'll start tapping to them, too. He remembers them. Hoping one of them will get a hold of him. So the jailhouse, the prison, amen, the prisoners need to hear, amen, us singing, amen, praises to God, amen, come on. Why? So the foundations of the prison can be shaken. Why do we have to come through our tests? Why do we have to come through the wilderness? Because this world is full of Philistines, and is there not a cause? Why do we have to come through our tests? Why do we have to come through our trials? Listen, baby, God is depending on you. God is depending on me. Why do we have to make it? Why do we have to have a bulldog grip? Because we, amen, are the key between heaven and earth, amen, and we have power to bind on and what is bound in heaven is bound in earth. What is loose in heaven is loose in earth. Amen. We have the keys to the kingdom. We have the keys to open up the chains, amen, of bondage in people's lives. Amen. Don't you realize, amen, what you have been given and what responsibility, amen, that we have. Amen. Going to church and living for God and standing true and faithful, baby, is not because you're just a preacher's kid, because you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And God wants to use you someday, amen, to open up the doors of somebody who's in chains. Amen. Somebody, amen, that needs saved. That's what your purpose of life is. Your purpose in life is not a better job. Your purpose in life is not a better paycheck. Your purpose in life is not a better education. Your purpose in life, amen, is to reach the lost. Amen, is to take Christ to this world. Amen, come on, is to take Christ to this world. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Help me somehow. I kick the bucket all the time. I'm going to open up and just let you have it. I kick the bucket all the time. I need to be preaching this gospel. I don't need to be out here working a dumb secular job. Amen. The apostles gave themselves continually to the word of God in prayer. Amen. You think this preaching is a little good? Amen. It's a little good, but it could be a whole lot better. Amen. If preachers could give themselves to the ministry. Amen. And give themselves to reaching towns and communities. Amen. Where we really need to be. Amen. And doing the will of God. God somehow. Give me a lottery ticket on the ground, so I ain't buying them. Something. God could do it. Something. Amen. What we could do if we had 8 hours a day to clock in for God. How many doors we can knock on. Well, how do you think all these other, amen, folks who drive around these cars and knock on your doors all the time and bug you? Huh? You know what I'm talking about. That's what we need to be doing. Not them. Amen. Telling you the truth. And have you noticed? Their tactics have changed. Now they send out women. It's all women. There's some men, I guess. But all I've ever seen is carloads of women. Hello? Telling you the truth. And they ain't dressed very good either. They'll win people, but they'll win their kind. Hello? Help us somehow, Jesus. Spoil these Gentiles. So the foundation of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's bands were loosed. Loosed. Let me tell you another quick testimony. I got 5 minutes. You know, we have the keys. BC, I bumped into many people, many types of people. But I knew there was something. Even though I never had the Holy Ghost, and even though I never had a relationship with God, I knew enough that there was, that God was real. Even though he didn't love me, and I was upset with him. And so, bumped into this girl, full of the devil, demons. She was raised hardcore denomination. They call it the highest form of spirituality. Denomination is one of the highest forms of spirituality. And through that upbringing, she was introduced to invisible friends with the candles and all this stuff. And yes, it does welcome them. So she is full of devils. 1 minute she'd be one way, next minute she'd be another way. You turn the temperature up, it would get her all riled up. So being the being the irritating person that I was, I like to turn the heat up all the time. We drive down the road and I just turn the heater on. Telling you the truth. I got witnesses. So, full of the devil. So what did I do? Took her somewhere where they had the keys. Took her to my parents' house, who had the keys. Physically drug her to our living room. Barely got her to the living room, into a kitchen chair. And she grabbed the side of the chair and locked her hands into that chair. And so I looked at my dad. They're like, what a way to introduce people. I said, she's full of devils. She needs deliverance. So, my dad, who was familiar with spiritual battle, started praying, got the oil. He walked over to her and he said, ma'am, he said, do you want help? And it was everything within her power to just nod her head, yes. So, they started praying. Mother started praying. My sister just had received the Holy Ghost. She was a baby. She grabbed a Bible. So, when my dad felt the unction, he went over and he laid his hands on her. He started praying for her. Sister came over. She took a Bible and placed the Bible on her chest. So, just a few moments later, there was this ungodly roar. Her neck swelled up, broke the chain on her neck. The devils came out of her. I can take you right to the spot. I want to go there and take pictures, but the trailer's gone. The land is still there, empty. But I wish I could have got pictures.
devils came roaring out of her. She was set free. Because of the keys. Peter said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. It's easy when it's easy. When you have everything going for you, you have plenty of money, everything, got it all together. But it's in that wilderness when you don't have it all together that God is making something out of you. Let's stand. I don't know who this message was for. Maybe it was for me. But if this message was for you, if you got something out of it, I welcome you to come to this altar tonight. Reach out and touch the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, just me. Blood of Jesus. Come on. Come on. He'll be our doctor. He'll be our lawyer. He'll be our best friend. He'll stick it closer than a brother. Really?